Welcome to the Classy Ring Guitar Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Let's do it.
We had Roadblock.
And it is exactly what the name said it was going
to
be.
We need to take a moment and look at... We need to take a look at these network specials.
Mm-hmm.
And what they do. There's no real secret that these network specials are house shows.
They're glorified house shows, yeah.
They're house shows that...
might have Lesnar in it.
Yeah, bigger names will show up at.
Right.
Lesnar's shown up at a lot of these, incidentally, which is strange.
I think he's shown up at all of the ones that they've had, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know if, like, Lesnar's cheaper on a house show, maybe, or something?
Or they're willing to shell out a little bit more money just because they want a little, you know, a few more people to get eyes on the network.
Right.
That's really what it is.
Right. I understand. I've been to house shows. I understand what a house show is.
It's a standalone.
Nothing happens in a house show. Nothing progresses. The story can't progress on a house show because you can't do that.
You're just matches.
Yeah, you're going for the fun and the enjoyment of watching the matches.
Sure.
Which is fine.
Mm-hmm.
And Roadblock had more than a few good matches on it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I thought, you know, quality-wise, the, you know, main event was really good. I thought that Natty and Charlotte had a really good match. Natty's best match in years.
Well, since their NXT match.
Yeah, since the last time they had a decent feud together. Right. But, I mean, that's honestly been, what, 2 years ago?
It might have been that long. I don't know.
So, it's been a while.
Yeah.
But I feel like there has to be something more to
make sure that we're interested in the next one.
Yes.
To make us like, all right, well, we'll actually like take time out and actually watch this live or even watch it later, you know?
Right.
Honestly, after watching Roadblock, I'm like, I don't even know if I really want to even watch the next one, period.
Well, that's the thing is, I have a lot of wrestling to watch.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's like 2-3 extra hours of it.
Yeah. And while I get that's great to go watch it live, If you can guarantee me nothing's going to happen, then, you know, if there's something that gets dropped off a list, that's the first thing.
Mm. And if someone tells me, like, so-and-so and so-and-so have a great match, go check it out. Yeah, I'll watch it later then.
Yeah, exactly.
But I don't really have any urge to watch it.
And I get that this one was right before WrestleMania. You don't want to, you know, you need more than 3 weeks to build a WrestleMania card, so you don't want to mess up what the WrestleMania card's going to be.
Yeah.
I get that. So, and I get that this is a great time to have that network special because you have a gap in your pay-per-views.
Sure. Yeah.
So, if we have a thing where like, okay, the March network special, we all know nothing's going to happen.
Sure.
That's fine. In that situation, that's fine. So, I'm not mad at him for this, but it's a little bit of a warning. Like, okay...
It's kind of like...
if this keeps happening, I will be upset later.
Yeah, it's kind of a Ring of Fire match. Like, you're okay, I see why you did it. I understand why, but maybe not do it that way next time.
You know? And they haven't in the past.
Yeah. And, okay, here's the thing. Usually the event before WrestleMania is kind of a nothing thing, but we already got that, and it was called Fastlane.
You know?
So now it feels like there's an extra nothing thing leading up to WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
And all it did was... just kind of, like, awkwardly stop all of the WrestleMania storylines for, like, a couple weeks so they can build up this Roadblock thing.
That's where the problem comes in.
Right.
Is you... Roadblock isn't this one-off, like, oh, hey, this is happening on the network. Check it out. It's pretty cool. Feuds were built for this.
Sure.
They discussed it on the main show.
Mm-hmm.
They had long extended segments.
Your A story for like 2-3 weeks was Roadblock with Dean and Triple H.
Exactly. I'm at that point, the way you're building it, I'm going in to see what happens.
Yeah.
And I don't want to... It was build where something had happened. The way you built, you built the match up, the way you build the show, something was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew nothing was going to happen, like, because WrestleMania is coming up in a few weeks, and you can't left turn on your marketing like that.
Right.
I get that.
Even the Daniel Bryan thing was done so, like, weeks and weeks ahead of time, where it felt last minute, but in the grand scheme of things...
We had well over a month of, like,
right.
Okay, Daniel Bryan is going to be in this.
Yeah.
And
really all they had to do was just add an extra line of text in the main event, because, you know, they were already going to do Daniel Bryan versus Triple H, so they really didn't have to change much there.
Right. So... I'm kind of flip-flopping or non-committal on whether I feel Roadblock was a success or not.
Mm-hmm.
Because I did get to see good matches.
Right.
Which is all I should... That's all I should expect out of a house
show. And
it's
one of those things where it's like... The very last thing on it, we weren't crazy about with the finish. And it's one of those things where, like, you have to try really hard to be... to look at the entire event objectively and not let the entire thing be ruined by the last thing you saw.
Right, but I'm not even...
I'm not saying you're doing that. I'm just saying, like, a lot...
I know.
There's going to be a lot of people that say that.
I'm bummed with the fact that... I'm bummed with the fact that Dean lost, mm-hmm. but I'm not really upset how he lost. I thought it was a good, solid match.
It was a way to show him that he's worthy of the main event.
Right.
Without... changing the
title. He had a lot of back and forth or a lot of close calls. Mm. He did get a 3 count on
right.
Triple H. Like, and it was, you know, it wasn't even shenanigans, but it was like victim of circumstance kind of situation.
Sure.
And of course he was going to lose, and he didn't lose in a depressing manner.
Mm-hmm.
He lost.
In a way, I felt like this whole process, I think, strengthen Dean Ambrose, because he, you know, we can all agree he hit a real stride in the weeks leading up to this, promo wise, and you know the match did nothing but help continue that. I'm not sure if it elevated it or anything, because it felt like he was already at that level anyway. But right. All it did was kind of solidify that the main event scene is where he belongs.
Yeah. And you know. Dolph has a match with Triple H 2 days later.
Yeah.
And it's the same kind of thing, where I am disappointed with how the match ends, but at the same time, I know that's how it ends, that's the only
mm-hmm.
logical thing to happen, or I guess Roman could come in and help through shenanigans,
right.
But very clean, up-and-down match, Dolph Ziggler versus Triple H. Of course, Triple H is the champion. Triple H is going into the main event of WrestleMania. Of course, Triple H has
sure.
to beat Dolph Ziggler cleanly
sure.
at that point. I can't, you know, I can't stand on a, no, I love Dolph Ziggler, this should happen, boo, grumble, fist shake.
Right.
Because, if nothing else, I am tired of the cowardly heel. And
right.
as rare as Triple H is at having matches, he is not a cowardly heel, you know.
Right.
So, and he...
Because if any heel is going to beat somebody clean, it's going to be...
Triple H.
The guy with the shovel.
Yeah. Well...
But I know what you're saying. Yeah.
He...
Even to give him his fair due, like he...
He is built up in kayfabe as a good wrestler.
Yeah.
I think he's a very strong wrestler.
Sure.
In real life, I think he has fantastic qualities. I think the dude, better than anybody else, except for maybe Undertaker, has mastered the 2 9/10 of a count kickout.
Sure. Yeah.
I think pairing that up with Dolph Ziggler's moveset.
Yeah.
Because Dolph Ziggler has, like, 6 finishers or whatever.
yeah.
Like, so... And Dolph Ziggler has a slew of really good-looking finishers. He does several moves. I don't even know. What is his official finisher?
I think it's still the zigzag.
Yeah. Okay. He has several moves that look like they could end a match.
Right.
And so you pair that up with Triple H being able to kick out at 2 9/10 a lot.
Right.
You get a couple of really good near falls.
Mm-hmm.
You get Triple H looking intense. You get Dolph Ziggler selling like Dolph Ziggler can do for the first time in 6-8 months.
Yeah. You get him on a main event stage. I mean, and I don't know if this is because they have... something, anything in mind for Ziggler, or if this was just a setup for the Roman return and the beatdown.
Yeah.
Either way,
Dolph Ziggler and Triple H put on one of the best Raw matches in a while.
Yes.
But I'm really happy I saw that. I'm really happy that the Dean thing happened. I was pleased with the match. Mm-hmm. But how do you...
You're talking about the Roadblock match.
The Roadblock match, okay. Yeah. How do you have those two matches and not just see that the Roman match is going to look weak by comparison? Not necessarily Roman himself and Roman's match, but just the crowd investment in Roman. You know, it's three guys going up against one big boss champion. Two of them are going to get a very different reaction than the third.
Yeah. So that being said, with the, like, all the fights and everything that's going on between Roman and Triple H or whatever, do you think their match at WrestleMania would benefit with some sort of, like, gimmick?
You mean like a Hell in a Cell, No Holds Barred kind of thing?
Like, they've already have two of those on the roster already?
Yeah,
So three would, I'm saying, like, three would probably be a bit much, but, I mean, if you want to try to make Roman look as strong as you can, and because Roman, a lot of the credit does go to Brock, but the Brock-Roman match at 31, even without Seth's involvement, was a pretty good match.
Yeah.
A lot of it was because it was stiff. I mean, it was still, like, confined to the rules of a typical one-on-one wrestling match.
I have no real concern about...
But I don't know if Triple H can bring what Brock brought to the table.
No. I have no real concern about Roman and Triple H's ability to put on a decent match.
Sure.
If it's just those two guys in a ring...
Even you've got a guy like Triple H who's seen it all, he's done it all. If anybody can call a good match in the ring or just plan out a good match beforehand, it doesn't even need to be called in the ring. I would trust Triple H with that.
They're going to put on a solid match.
Sure.
I've no doubt about that. They do not need an additional stipulation to put on a good match. It's not like these two guys are going to put on a cracking match unless it's in a Cell and put on a good match.
Right.
That's a Mick Foley thing.
Fair enough.
But so if you were going to add anything, it's for the sake of trying to get the crowd hyped for this match and specifically hyped for Roman.
Right.
And I don't see anything that can do that. There's nothing where I'm like, oh, I was going to boo that match, but now that I see it's a no holds barred.
Oh, in Pittsburgh, let them know.
I mean, yeah, I don't see that happening.
Sure.
And you have a no holds barred, you have a Hell in a Cell match. Like, it's somewhat full of those types of matches already.
Right. I mean, you've already got a street match between Dean and Brock.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, they might swerve it in some way. Mm-hmm. I don't know. At this point, I feel just, like, ready to take my medicine.
Right.
We've had two WrestleManias that should have been bad that came out good.
Right, and basically we got an answer to a lot of the things that, you know, we were complaining about.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had a very satisfactory end to it.
Yeah.
So now it's just like, all right, maybe we might not like it, but maybe it's just let WWE just do what they want to do this time.
Yeah, I just, I'm pretty...
Not saying that's a good thing to do.
I'm pretty apathetic towards the whole thing.
I feel like a lot of people aren't by this point.
Yeah, which is not a good way for us to feel about your main event.
No, like, absolutely not. That is not at all the desired effect. We should be, you know, this far out or this, you know, close to WrestleMania, we should be like, guys, I can't wait for this main event. It's going to be incredible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, blah, blah, blah. But, yeah, no, but you don't get a sense of that from anyone. Yeah,
no.
I think we're on the more mild side, just being indifferent, you know?
Yeah,
everyone's still enraged about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be, sure.
Although, again, the best sign I've seen in a while was that Roadblock, and it said, when it rains, it pours.
That's nice.
Yeah.
I'm more interested in the Shane and Taker match.
It feels like that's the main event at this point.
Well, it's...
As far as intrigue.
Both as far as, like, I'm interested to see what this match is going to look like. Because this
match... I'm interested in be like, how would... If Shane wins, how would they do that?
Yeah.
You know, and exactly how, like, in metric tons is will be the shenanigans.
Yeah. It's going to be a... This match can go in many different...
Sure. Yeah, oh yeah.
I, you know, like, if I had to write down all the spots for the, you know, 18-minute main event that's going to happen, I could probably get 60% of them in the right order. You know, like, right. It's, you know, this basic, like, somebody falls out, we're going to have, like, a Superman punch, we're going to have a kick out from a Superman punch, we're going to have an attempted pedigree that he's going to end up throwing Triple H. Like,
right.
There are some pretty standard greatest hits that are going to happen in this match.
Sure.
I think it's going to be a solid back and forth kind of thing.
At least one appearance from a sledgehammer.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but with the Undertaker Shane match, I don't know. Is it going to be like
other than, you know, we'll see last ride, we'll see a choke slam, we'll see maybe a tombstone, maybe two.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean, but
on the Undertaker side, but on Shane's side, we're like, he's probably going to fall from something.
The thing is Shane going to get beat down the whole time? Is Shane going to, like, do a scramble run? Are there going to be interferences? Is this whole thing going to take place inside the cage?
Are they going to climb around? You know?
Yeah, like, yeah. There's so much of, like, I don't know what's going to happen in this match. And I don't know what the fallout of this match is going to be.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, Roman's going to win the title. Triple H, there's a good chance Triple H will get a rematch at whatever's next. Is Over the Limit next?
I believe Extreme Rules.
Extreme Rules, okay.
Yeah.
He's going to get a rematch at Extreme Rules, or maybe, you know, he won't, and some other authority proxy. Roman's going to continue to feud with the authority.
Yeah.
And we'll kind of get that until, hopefully, Seth makes a surprise return, you know, a month after WrestleMania or so. And either feuds, you know, with Triple H if he comes back as a babyface, or Roman Reigns if he comes back as a... Like, I can see the map of the A story. Which is bad.
Right, because we like to kind of actually live in the moment and just enjoy it as it happens without necessarily knowing what the next day...
And if the hypothetical WWE guy is listening to this podcast right now and rubbing his hands, just, they have no idea. Because you have something up your sleeve? Fine. Very good job. I would love that to happen.
Hopefully your idea doesn't get shot down in the writer's room. Hopefully. Yeah.
But I feel like I see very clearly the path of that story. Shane Taker?
Yeah.
So that's what I'm interested in. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, because that's the one where there's more questions than any of the others.
Mm-hmm. And that's the one where I can see them going both ways. I can definitely see Undertaker winning this, and it won't be like, I can't believe that happened. And I could see Shane winning this, and I can't believe that happened.
Right.
And that's what's interesting about that match.
Yeah. And it was also, I guess, there's a nice footnote. It wasn't mentioned on the show, but it was mentioned on the pre-show that there will be a Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal.
Are there enough active wrestlers for an Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal?
Well,
how many NXT guys are going to get called up for one night only to fill out the 30 members?
I'm assuming we'll at least get one, like, Hideo Itami spot from last year, like, where, you know, the NXT guy will win, like, win something over the weekend and get moved up or something. I guess good time to mention that Neville is injured. I think broken shin bone and broken ankle.
Yeah.
So he might be gone for a while.
Yeah, that sucks.
It does. It really does. So, but at the same time, it's like, maybe now he'll get a return pop and they'll do something with him when he comes back. Like, I hate to think like that, but,
well,
what else were they going to do with him?
Well, part of it is I'm pretty sure he had a spot on the WrestleMania card.
Sure, oh, yeah, you know? Yeah.
So,
at the very least in the Battle Royal.
Yeah, and you gotta say, it sucks for the guy who debuted after last WrestleMania. Has probably been wanting to perform at WrestleMania
since forever.
Yeah, his entire life, or the large majority of it. And 3 weeks away from his WrestleMania debut, breaks his ankle.
In a nothing match against Jericho.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that just, that sucks, and just, that sucks.
Yeah.
You know, at some point, I feel like there does need to be a discussion of, like, a lot of guys just got hurt recently.
Yeah.
And
again, it just could be just a streak of flukish bad luck.
Well, it's the, you know, the...
Because nothing's really... I don't really think a lot has changed as far as, like, what's going on in the ring.
Right.
Compared to the past couple years.
It's the same thing, like, with the NFL. The NFL, at some point, you know... And they sat down a lot after everybody else in the world sat down. I was like, look, this is happening.
Yeah.
It's this reason. There's no way to spin this. There's no way around it. These people are getting these injuries because of this.
It's like how, you know, speaking of the NFL, how medical experts would say, hey, CTE is a direct reflection of, you know, repeated concussions. And that was a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And guess who just now recognized that CT and a lot of concussions are, you know, connected?
Oh, yeah.
NFL. Like, literally yesterday, I think.
Yeah, yeah. It was announced either yesterday or the day before.
Yeah. So, and yeah, that's a very WWE thing to do, where it's just like everyone's like, hey, this is why all this is happening. You need to fix it. And they will wait until weeks pass when it was too late.
Clearly, we are talking about a form of entertainment that is very dangerous.
Yeah. Yes.
Nobody is ignoring that. Nobody is denying that.
No.
I think these guys are wanting to make it as safe as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they do a lot to do that.
Right.
I think they do, you know, the no unprotected headshots with chairs is the big,
it's a big step,
example. Yeah. That's a big example of, like, they pointed this out. This thing needs to stop. This is an issue. Okay, that's an issue. We address that. Blading's another kind of thing where, like, you know, speaking of which, this kind of ties into that. There was a blood pack used this week.
I don't know if there was or not. I made the joke that there was.
Because
of the Roman one.
There was a blood pack used on Roman.
Right.
Which was pretty clear.
Well, it wasn't, honestly. It was not going to be clear until the fan video came out. If we just went off of what we saw on WWE TV, we probably never would have known.
The handoff was beautiful. I did not see the handoff.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was not real looking blood. It did not look like blood on Roman. It did not look like blood on Triple H. If I'm totally wrong, and that was Triple H opening up the hard way, that sucks, dude, to open up the hard way and make people think it's a blood pack. Which is an interesting thing for me. It's my primal bloodlust, but, like, blood improves a match. Blood is, holy crap, that happened, that guy's bleeding.
Even if it's accidental, it's like there's a certain, like, level of intensity.
Yeah.
Like, I'm thinking of... Santino was the Intercontinental Champion at the time, and he was counting down to when he would break Honky Tonk Man's reign record.
Right.
And he would have the honk-o-meter or whatever, something stupid. And there's one time where he had a guitar, and it was just your typical Santino, you know, as a heel promo. And then he was, like, broke the guitar, and one of it just bounced back and caught him in the lip and just started gushing blood.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, he just had to just make that promo a lot more intense. And it's just like, holy crap, that Santino segment is super intense now because he's got a mouth full of blood.
Mm-hmm.
That perfect example.
Blood adds to the match,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time...
It's also irresponsible.
I don't do it on purpose. Yeah, that's like, I don't... I can't be like... You should nut up in blood. Like, no.
Nut up in blood?
Blade, whatever. No, it's... I don't want to condone that. I don't... Or you should, nut up and open yourself the hard way. Like, I don't want to promote any kind of, like, intentional blood coming out of a person.
Sure.
Because as... it's the kind of thing where, like, I love me some Mick Foley matches, and I love me that I'm not watching it live. Because it takes out some of the oh boyness of it with the, like, I don't know if he's okay yet. I know Mick's okay now. Or as okay as he's going to be.
Right.
You know, he does have pains, but I know where he is right now, and he's, you know, health-wise. And I know he survived the fall off the cage and the crash through the fire table and everything. So I can watch those past things and enjoy them. Not so much right now.
Yes.
So
also I want us to start selling t-shirts that say "Not Up in Blood." I wasn't making fun of you. I just actually really like that. And I just tweeted out on the Class Ring Attire # "Not Up in Blood."
Well, so we're at this point where this weird kind of impasse where I will acknowledge blood makes a match better.
Yeah.
Don't bleed. Sure. Don't put the blood in there.
Yeah. And it almost seems like a lot of times it seems, what's the right word? Intrusive to ask a wrestler to hard weigh it.
Yeah.
You know? Not, you know, like guys like Brock, you don't care. Even if they tell him, like, we don't want any blood in this match, he's like, okay, then hard weigh it.
Yeah.
It happens.
I mean, yeah, if you're going to do it against all recommendation and requests.
Yeah.
I request.
That's putting your own.
That's the thing. It's like, I request.
You're putting your own help in
as a fan, I request that you don't do that.
As a fan, you're like, it's like you're condemning with a smile on your face.
Yeah, pretty much. But it I can see how with that, you know, that's a definite catch-22.
Sure.
And I can see how blood packs can look like the answer to that. You get the blood, you get the feel of, oh, it's intense.
Right.
Without actually damaging or hurting anybody.
Right.
And on some level, yeah, I get that. On some level,
you gotta get better blood pack. But sorry, excuse me. You gotta get better blood packs.
Yeah. It's the kind of thing. It comes with its own brand new set of problems.
Sure.
And some of it is nope. That just doesn't look real.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it is, you know, they stopped the match for a really small cut there.
Right.
And
but they kept it going.
He's got solid crimson
gushing from his nose.
Yeah, that's there's something.
Because that was the big thing with Roman. It's like, okay, 1 minute he's fine, and then like literally 2 seconds later, nothing but blood.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
And it also has this thing where with the Triple H thing, where I'm like, that looks like a blood pack. And if Triple H was opened up the hard way, this past week, that sucks.
Yeah.
That sucks that you got opened up the hard way, that is your blood pouring out, and some jerk on a wrestling podcast is like, blood pack.
Right.
I don't buy it.
Because then we're just every other, you know, cynical prick on the internet.
Yeah.
We don't want to be.
And that's the thing is, part of the defending of this, you know, sport or this art or whatever you want to call it, is when people are like, these blood packs and ketchup. And I'm like, they don't. That is real blood.
And now we're at the point where we're like, yeah,
they use the
not
blood
ketchup, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so I don't like the blood packs for that reason.
Yeah.
It, to me, it calls into question every guy who did, you know, open himself up the hard way or with a blade or whatever to get that effect. And while I don't agree with that effect and wish it wouldn't happen, you got some guys with some weird looking foreheads.
Sure.
That now that it's happened, I kind of want to respect that it happened.
Right. Well, you know what would be a good way of fixing all this? That would be finding new and creative ways of selling intensity, you know, rather than relying on any sort of crutch, you know, because that, in the grand scheme of things, intentionally bleeding, however the way you get to it, or even using, you know, a blood pack, or, you know, the illusion of blood, it's ultimately a crutch to sell intensity.
Well, it also opens up this you have to decide when it's worth blood and when it's not worth blood.
Sure, yeah.
Once, you know, once controlling if there's blood in a match or not is back on the table, mm-hmm. you then have to decide, you know, what matches are intense enough for there to be blood.
It's, oh, well, you know, this match on Roadblock between Jack Swagger and Chris Jericho, yeah, we can use some color on that. Like, that is jumping from zero to I wish you died in the womb. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah, there has to be clearly a line of if this is what they're going to do, they themselves have to decide when they pull that trigger.
Yeah. And
which is not always going to be a clearly defined line, knowing WWE.
No, and it, even in the, you know, the era of Blading is Totally Fine, they had that issue of, you know, here's a regular match, you know, no, you know, nobody big
the,
deal.
The Ric Flair problem.
Yeah.
Because Ric Flair pretty much believed it for anything.
Yeah.
And everything.
Not a big deal. Regular run-of-the-mill match. Easy way to put some immediate intensity on it. There's some blood in the match now. Mm-hmm.
That, like, that's it's like the running joke with, you know, with Ric Flair. Like, he buys a new bicycle blades, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's just, and so they need to stay away from that. They need to make it very rare if they're ever going to go that route,
mm-hmm.
whatever the cause of the bleeding may be.
Yeah. So, but that goes into, that goes in back into kind of injuries, where you have guys like Neville had an injury on a pretty much, you know, run-of-the-mill match on an episode of Raw.
Right.
And we're talking about, like, there's a lot of injuries right now, but it's not like the NFL thing where NFL is like, this repeated head trauma causes this issue.
Right.
For all the injuries we have, they're all different.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Neville hurt his ankle.
I felt like for a while there was a lot of shoulder stuff going on.
Yeah, a lot. Well, that's the thing. There's a lot of shoulder, a lot of neck, a lot of knee, a lot of ankle.
Yeah.
But it's kind of all over the place. And it's not, and it's different moves that do it.
Right.
You know, Seth got hurt from a different move than Tyson Kidd. Mm. Than, you know.
I think Seth got hurt from a sunset flip or something like
mm-hmm,
that.
Yeah.
Or something along those lines.
And some of it is, you know, the wrestler in question mm-hmm. landed badly or botched something.
Sure.
Some of it's the partner
yeah.
botched something. So there's not a consistent thing like the...
Like this specific thing is what caused all these...
Yes. So yeah. How do you address...
I honestly, like, I just think it's a string of really bad luck, to be honest with you. I'm not trying to, like, look too deep into it or anything. It's just... That's the price you pay when your form of entertainment is, you know, so risky sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a part of the job.
I mean, and in the middle of all this, Sami Zayn got hurt hyping up the crowd. Like,
right.
Sometimes something dumb happened.
Exactly.
Vince got hurt climbing into the ring that one time.
Right. Sometimes your star pitcher injures himself while sneezing.
Yeah.
And is out for 2 weeks, you know.
Our bodies are weirdly fragile.
Sure.
So.
Like, they can withstand great amount of pressure and strain, and then sometimes it can't.
Mm-hmm. So, I do feel in this era, you know, in this little timeline of, holy crap, that's a lot of injuries. It does feel like they're doing everything they can do to reasonably be safe.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you can make arguments for a lot of things, like maybe Sting shouldn't be wrestling at his age. But at the same time, Sting has not done anything crazy in the WWE.
True.
You know, he's wrestled pretty safe matches.
Yeah, and even then, like, kind of a freak situation happened where he got hurt.
Yeah.
You know, Seth was doing that, that, like, a power bomb into the corner.
Mm-hmm.
Something he's done pretty much everybody. And yet to him, but to Sting, it, you know, it's probably something that's going to end his career.
Yeah, and it's, and I feel like, you know, Sting's fine and he's going to be fine,
sure.
But,
yeah.
You know, when you lose 6 months of your career when you're that age, that might, you might only have 6 months left.
Right.
So you just lost the last 6 months.
Right. And then they eventually, you know, they eventually did determine that he did have spinal stenosis, which is, you know, in WWE terms, it should mean you're done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Same thing with Daniel Bryan.
Sure. Yeah,
you know, just... And there's some stuff where, like, John Cena has had nagging injuries for years.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the one thing that I do want to address. Of all these injuries,
mm-hmm.
John Cena should be wrestling right now. John Cena should be in WrestleMania 32 because he should have left and gotten this fixed a long time ago.
Is that what was that what his injury was? It was just a long... Like, I still have no idea exactly
It's... John Cena has not had anything properly fixed since 2008.
Sure, yeah, you're right, because he does the whole, like, coming back way too soon thing.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's cool, and that's his gimmick, and man, he got a pop at that one Royal Rumble when he came back out of nowhere. But you do that, and eventually it's going to catch up to you.
And
it caught up to John Cena in the middle of a huge string of injuries.
Right.
And that's just kind of, that's a little bit what you get, WWE,
mm-hmm.
for relying on this one guy, so every time he should be out for 6 months, we make it 3 months.
Yeah.
You know, as soon as you do that, you're wrestling on borrowed time. Turns out you're borrowing the time from the build-up to WrestleMania 32.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's...
And so now, you know, they're kind of forced to look elsewhere.
Mm. And obviously, this all comes back to the problem of don't build your company around one guy.
Sure.
Which we've spoken about a lot. We will speak about a lot more. It is more this would be a perfect time for Cena to turn heel than that.
Right.
Like just but it, to this day, boggles my mind that you won't build up a main event roster.
Right. Rather than just one guy.
Yes.
With a rotation of people who will step up and then step right back down.
And I feel like it's a very territory mentality where your territory has its guy.
Yeah.
That everybody shows up and
challenges. Well, I mean, isn't that just the tail of the tape? You know, WWE's problem is a really dated philosophy. Like, yeah, you could point to a lot of things. That's pretty much like it's that mindset.
Yeah.
So many outdated traditions or philosophies that are just holding the company back from where it could be. But rather than change it and do something innovative and be at the forefront of this form of entertainment, which they should be, being the position that they're in.
Yeah.
They're not. Yeah. They're sticking to what has worked decades ago and really hasn't worked since.
Yeah.
Like Roman repeating all the Stone Cold Steve Austin stuff, essentially.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's
carbon copy. It worked in 1998, 99, 2000, whatever. It is not working now.
I mean, that's the thing. And it's not what's... Let's figure out this Roman character and what works best for Roman. It's... Let's find our best storyline, the guy we want to be the main star, and put him in the best
storyline. I'm not saying, like, Stone Cold wouldn't be a star in today's society. He probably would. But it's the fact that they are so obviously recycling stuff that has worked in the past and trying to use it as a stencil and tracing it,
almost. No, they built this storyline around the Stone Cold character, and the Stone Cold character worked in the way the Stone Cold character worked, which made the storyline work. They are trying to, and they're trying to stick Hulk Hogan in that storyline. And that never would have worked for Hulk Hogan because Hulk Hogan's a company man.
Right.
And that's the thing, is they want that Hulk Hogan, they want that company man.
Yeah. And again,
and they're trying to stick him in a Stone Cold storyline.
Right. And without any sort of, like, fresh take on it or anything. Because, I mean, I'm not even saying that something like that wouldn't work. You just have to have the right pieces, because the last time that worked was Daniel Bryan. They did it his way, and they had him look more like an underdog rather than just a badass guy who the company just doesn't like.
The fresh take is he's facing an actual wrestler turned authority figure instead of an authority figure turned wrestler.
Right.
So...
And so now we're at Roman, we're like, yeah, no, we just did this.
Yeah.
And you're a lot bigger than him, so it's kind of harder to see you as an underdog right now.
Mm-hmm.
But we're supposed to believe it.
Yeah.
We're supposed to believe the cards are stacked against them again.
I saw a lot of positive comments about how Roman returned. I didn't feel that watching it myself.
Okay. And I felt more indifferent about it.
That's the thing. It's like, and maybe I'm just indifferent to the whole thing.
Maybe that's what it is.
And it's not, you know, it's not them, it's me this time. That's totally fair.
Was it bad that a part of me was kind of hoping that they would keep Roman off TV until WrestleMania?
Well, it was...
I knew it would be unrealistic, but I was like,
I mean, the one very brief point where I was like, this is it, Roman has made it, we fixed everything, was Roman going crazy after, I think, TLC and taking out Triple H.
And in storyline standpoint, it makes sense that the one thing he does when he comes back, right after getting, his beatdown a few weeks ago, it makes sense that the first thing he does is just annihilate Triple H.
And so that man on a mission, going after one guy, tearing the world to pieces to make it happen.
Right.
That's the character that Roman Reigns needs to play. That is the character for him. That character works for that build. That character works for his mic skills. That character works as both a face and a heel. That can be the character he plays for the next 10 years.
Okay. Yeah.
That's what works for Roman. The tater tot, suffering succotash, I'm a goofy guy.
Right.
It's not. That's... You're the cousin of The Rock, and The Rock could pull off tater tots like a dream.
I would groan at it, but yeah.
No, the dude pulls, it's Fruity Pebbles. It's another food.
Yeah, I know. I still groan at it, but I'll give him a pass because it's The Rock and he's got a certain level of charisma that Roman clearly does not have.
And Fruity Pebbles worked like a dream the first time. The Rock has an issue with catchphrase bingo and running it into the ground.
Yes.
Totally get that. The Rock doesn't remember what it's like to be on TV on a weekly basis.
Right.
He doesn't come back often enough that he needs to
work on fresh material.
Yeah, pretty much.
Or something new to do other than catchphrase bingo.
Yeah, it's Jeff Foxworthy and you might be a redneck.
Yeah.
Like, it's
his greatest hits.
That's the thing. And they're like, I'll go and see Jeff Foxworthy and his cool. Follow me
would
up.
Did you?
I have seen Jeff Foxworthy live, actually.
How old were you?
It was a charity event. So.
So you weren't actually there for Jeff Foxworthy, you're there for the charity event?
I mean, yeah, pretty much. It was, but I mean.
Okay. That's okay. I'll let that slide.
Jeff Foxworthy is fine, and we can get into the nuances of the ranking system of the Blue Collar Comedy Tour.
Oh, God. Oh, no. Please, no.
No, and Jeff Foxworthy has some genuine solid material, good observations. Jeff Foxworthy, I don't remember this special, but he has actually a really solid special out there.
Okay.
Jeff Foxworthy has good material. He has greatest hits, and he has interesting
takes on things.
Yeah, I mean they're Southern redneck takes, but he has interesting takes on, this is the lens I view modern culture and society through.
Something that pretty much every comedian has.
Exactly.
Or most of the successful ones, yeah.
But you're going to a charity event, or you're going to that kind of thing.
Where people don't really know your nuances or anything.
You're really waiting for the You Might Be a Redneck. And he does that at the end of every show.
Sure.
Because if he's like, all right, that's my time, thanks everybody, and left without doing You Might Be a Redneck jokes, people would riot.
Yeah.
And I get that. If The Rock didn't do, trailblazing eyebrow raising, people would write. That's what The Rock is here for.
Sure.
It's to do that, and it's to do, has finally come back
and
to
give somebody a rock bottom.
Yeah. I get it, but he's not, he's in this weird space where he's not coming back once a year, which is the amount of, like, when you come back once a year, you do the catchphrase bingo and you're done.
Yeah.
When you come back 7 times throughout the year,
sure,
it's a little different. When you come back to promote something, so you're in a little tiny, storyline where you're really just there to promote whatever you are and do it on Raw.
In slut shame, Lana.
But you're there for like 3 weeks over 2 months.
Right.
Then it really starts to, oh God, now we have to go through the whole thing. was it this long in the Attitude Era?
Right, yeah.
Has he added more rhymes into this?
It's kind of like how we kind of grow now whenever Chris Jericho would go through all of his catchphrases. And he, you know, and we know Chris Jericho is going to be here every week.
Yeah, and it's
that's where it's just like, okay, all right, calm it down. Now, we're, you know, he's kind of slowing that up now that he's gone full heel.
Yeah.
Thank goodness.
But there's a lot of like, oh, that's the setup to the thing.
Sure. But for the love of all things holy, somebody get Chris Jericho some actual, like, long pants. The guy doesn't need to be doing... He doesn't need to be doing his trunks anymore.
So, I've actually heard a lot of really good things about Jericho this past week. And they are as follows.
Okay.
So, take them for what you will. These are not my thoughts on Jericho, but thoughts I have read on Jericho.
Okay.
That he has... Because Jericho, as we know, pretty much gets to pick what he wants to do.
Yes.
So Jericho... And Jericho is, like, full-time focused on getting other people over.
Yes.
So Jericho was the one to pretty much pick AJ Styles.
Sure.
To, I'm going to bring this guy up. Mm-hmm. This is the guy that's going to beat me at WrestleMania right. to get him over.
And he probably came back for AJ. Yeah.
And... That's a good thing compared to WrestleMania 29, where they basically gave him Fandango. Right. This is the guy you're going
to
put over.
A year after he came back to do what he's doing for AJ, he basically became that because he wanted to work with Punk on, you know, a bigger scale than what they had done previously.
Right. So he is doing a lot of steering this program.
Right.
And the storyline, pretty solid standard storyline, veteran facing, you know, rookie, couple of matches, rookie gets veteran respect, start to, you know, have a tag team, work that a little while, the whole jealousy thing sets in,
yeah.
Veteran turns on rookie, master apprentice, showdown match, rookie goes over. And, you know, it's not a, you know, crazy out there storyline. It's a pretty basic storyline that works time and time again.
Yeah.
And I think the two solid problems here are, A, it's Chris Jericho, and Chris Jericho has undermined the Chris Jericho bomb.
Yeah.
He's gone to that well too many times. It's not as effective as it used to be.
Right.
Because as much as I want to sit here and say... AJ Styles can do better, deserves better. I believe all that wholeheartedly. I don't know if WWE believes that.
Right.
And as much as I feel like he could be a solid main event, maybe not the main event, but like a top tier match at WrestleMania, if Chris Jericho wasn't there being like, this is the guy I want, he could very easily be in the armbar. You know, just right. The way WWE operates.
They could have put him there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So in a way, this with Jericho pretty much not necessarily handpicking AJ to do this with, but you know, focusing on AJ and making it a point to, you know, have a plan for AJ from the moment he got here to now, that, you know, forces WWE to kind of set him apart rather than just have him be lost in the shuffle in the Battle Royal.
So that's a theoretically good thing, but yeah, two problems are it's with Chris Jericho, and that's not what it used to be. And it feels like it's happening very fast.
Yes.
It feels like this is a 9 month to a year storyline.
That they put in like 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We touched on this a couple weeks ago where it's like, I would have rather, because it feels like they've already had a feud, you know?
Yeah.
Like they faced each other, like, pretty much nonstop for, like, a couple weeks.
Mm-hmm. They've
already had a match against each other.
The veteran focusing on the rookie section of the storyline is not far enough removed from the veteran gets jealous and turns heel section.
Right.
The last time they clearly did this, I think, was Miz and Al Trilley. You know, the protege... taking on the guy, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
And that, you know, they were together for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, he does some, like, and they didn't have a, they didn't have any matches or anything mm-hmm. in NXT, but they had the, like, you know, are you good enough to be my protege?
Right.
Back and forth before being the protege, before him
right.
coming out with him for a good long while.
Right.
Before that, you know, and you're waiting for that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have that, like, finally this is happening
mm-hmm.
with Chris Jericho and AJ, because of course it has to happen. We got WrestleMania in 3 weeks.
Right.
So those two things are what's keeping this from being a good program.
Yeah.
I feel. But, and if you had more time, if you had the time thing, I think that would fix the it's Chris Jericho thing, because Chris Jericho could have, if he was on this show constantly for 9 months to a year
yeah.
to do this whole storyline, he could very solidly have a lot of wins under his belt.
Sure. I know I've said this a couple weeks ago, but I feel like this whole storyline would benefit of would be a lot better right now if they just didn't have a match at Fastlane against each other, a one-on-one match. Because that was the point where, like, okay, now I respect you. The next day, there are tag teams. I would have rather, because that felt so odd that, you know, Chris Jericho was kind of a heel at that point, and then all of a sudden just switched back to face, and now we're tag teams. I would have rather they had that initial match on Raw the day after Royal Rumble, where AJ got the roll-up win. At that point, Jericho was like, you know what, kid, you're all right. And then they start tagging together at that point. And then have their final tag match against each other at Fastlane, because
their tag match with each other?
With each other against
okay, yeah.
New Day, because New Day was in the Edge and Christian segment, so there's your involvement for New Day.
Mm-hmm.
And you could have found another way to put the show that Edge and Christian show over.
Yeah.
And have that be the point where they turn on each other, and now that gave you a little bit more time to digest them as a tag team. Mm-hmm. And you've got a lot of this time after Fastlane to establish them as a feud against each other, and you haven't already been overexposed with their one-on-one matches.
Yeah.
You know? And at the same time, you don't have Chris Jericho doing this weird flip-flop thing.
Yeah.
You know, no. Doing the big show.
I'm with you. I agree. Speaking of New Day, one more thing I want to touch on is
I feel
safe to assume that to totally call New
yeah,
Day as face.
They're a face now.
New Day's face. Good time for New Day to turn face. I feel like they had gotten about as much out of their heel run as they could get.
I mean, they've been a heel for like a year and a few months.
Like, it's they were not getting any boos anymore.
No, they haven't for the past couple weeks.
And I think having this beat down the way that they had it put a lot of heat on, a lot of desperately needed heat onto League of Nations.
Right.
So
what are you thinking on WrestleMania, like a 4-on-3 situation?
That would be my ideal.
That way you don't have Sheamus mucking up any other match.
Well, that way, yeah. It you know, puts Sheamus's...
But then again,
Sheamus becomes a fourth of the team rather than a potential half of the team.
But then again, WWE might desperately need those bodies in the Battle Royal.
Yeah. And also, if we do a 3-on-4, Xavier Woods gets some time.
Sure.
And
they get to play the whole Freebird rules.
They suddenly remembered that, you know, Xavier Woods can wrestle.
Sure.
Which should be the mouthpiece for he's obviously the perfect choice for that. But I also, he's a good wrestler, and I'd like to see that every now and then.
And it lets the commentators, you know, directly reference the new Hall of Famers, the Freebirds. It's the whole Freebird rule thing.
Yeah.
So it was a title defense that involved Xavier Woods because Freebird rules. Now, I would be interested in being like, oh, it's 4-on-3. It's for the tag team championships for some weird reason. You know, just to add a little bit, you know, something a little bit new with it.
Yeah.
For that purpose, I would not want to see anyone just get thrown into the New Day and start dancing around, because
that's
always awkward. And it's their WrestleMania moment. Go ahead, give it to them.
No, New Day is the... New Day is the top face after Dean Ambrose. Like, as far as crowd reaction goes.
Sure, yeah.
So, no, they took your crap,
so,
and they polished it to gold. Let them have a New Day moment.
With that being said, New Day actually gets on the WrestleMania card this year, yes?
I should hope so.
Yeah. Because, like, they were on the pre-show last year.
Yeah, no, I should desperately hope so. That's going to be one of your biggest pops.
Right. Because so at that point,
you might need to do that so you can edit that soundbite and move it over to when Roman comes out.
Why is there a faint New Day Rocks chant going on during Roman's entrance?
So, I am a little worried because whenever they turn heels face that are being naturally turned anyway, they'll forget why people like them and will like
Randy Orton.
Yeah. So they, I do think it was the right time to turn them face. That does not mean I think they're going to do a good job of turning them face.
I just
hope they do. I hope this is a let them out there. They have this many minutes to do whatever they want and bring them back.
Let's put it this way. Kofi Kingston as a face on his own, not that interesting. Have Kofi, you know, Kofi as part of New Day face might be a little bit more interesting.
Yeah.
If they don't handle them too much. Like, hey, you guys are faces. You guys know how to be faces. You know how to get over with the crowd. And you've gotten this far on, like, pretty much coming up with everything on your own. Continue to do that, but as faces.
Yeah.
You know? Because I feel like they've earned that much. They've earned much leeway.
If they do the same thing and just take out the, you know what I hate? Current City. I hate Current City.
Sure.
They suck.
Yeah, yeah.
Take out that segment. It's a face.
I don't even care if Kofi goes back to, you know, threatening to fight children. I think they said that on Twitter. Someone sent a video of a child just refusing to eat his Bootios, and Kofi was just like, I would gladly add him to the list of children that we would like to fight.
That's fine. Like,
right.
It's they are dipping their toe into edgy. Like, their baby toe.
Right.
Every now and then. They let Vince say a bad word.
Yeah.
They're trying to figure out how to get blood back on the program safely. So, like, they're dipping.
And Big E loves the taste of booty.
Yes.
Oh, cereal. Like, that's been the joke from the last couple of shows.
They are dipping their pinky toe into edgy material. So, maybe they will keep the charm of New Day as it exists. Cross your fingers.
But do you think with this whole beatdown thing going on now that they'll add a little bit of a serious element to New Day? Because I feel like that's where this is going. Because that was a pretty, like...
That was a brutal beatdown.
Right.
Like, yeah, fair is fair. I hope not.
Yeah.
Like, maybe, but I hope not. Because here's my fear.
Mm-hmm.
Is they're going to be like, alright, so they have this beatdown, and we need them to have a serious streak. You know who's serious when he needs to be and goofy when he wants to be? John Cena. Perfect. Mm. We've got the magic formula for New Day. So.
Why do you have to say things?
That's why I hope that doesn't happen.
You're right. Yeah.
All right. Anything else I need to talk about?
No, not really.
All right. What's making you happy?
Oh, man. I worked on my patio this weekend. Got it cleaned out. I got it nice and swept. And I put up some lights. It looks very relaxing. It is very relaxing. It looks and is relaxing. Let's put
good.
It that way. Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah, that's making me happy.
Good job.
What's making you happy?
So this is making me appropriately sad and mournful and also happy.
Not the name of the segment.
That, I need to preface this and you'll understand why. There was a headline released today.
Oh, God.
That was horse killed by...
Joel!
Hang on. Horse killed by flying iceberg while filming Fast and the Furious 8.
What?
So I'm very sad that this horse died. That totally sucks, and I get that. I really want to see Fast and the Furious 8 now. If that is their entire marketing budget, marketing strategy to this movie. Because what is going on in Fast and the Furious 8 where something went wrong and a flying iceberg killed a horse in the middle of filming that?
Okay, flying iceberg, isn't that just like an avalanche?
I don't know.
Wow, Titanic 2's had a weird twist.
And again, I'm very sad that a horse, like, that genuinely totally sucks. And I don't know what safety function was not followed?
I mean, okay.
To put the horse in danger of the flying iceberg.
Okay, is that story worth bringing up on the podcast? Absolutely. Should it be what's making me happy this week? I'm not sure.
Which is why it's making me sad and appropriately mournful slash happy.
Still not the name of the segment. But now that I know, well, what you know to be the whole story, I'll allow it.
All right. Anything else?
No.
All right. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at Sierra Tire. We live tweet all Mondays and appropriate Sundays.
And if you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, send us an email. That's classroomringattire@gmail.com.
We are also on iTunes. Easy way to follow the podcast. You can subscribe. We'll get new episodes every week. Maybe give us a rating of
5 stars
or write a review. That kind of stuff really helps out the podcast.
And if you're listening to us on insidepulse.com/wrestling, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
We are also on Facebook. Easy way to follow Chris. Easy way to follow myself. Just kind of follow the podcast in general. See what else kind of things we're working on.
Yep.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.